This past Good Friday, I heard the story of the arrest, torture, and crucifixion of Jesus told twice. Here at Lyndale, in a beautiful, simple service, we read the whole story from Matthew's Gospel, interspersed with the singing of "Were You There?" Then in the evening, I was with Maggie at First Congregational, where the story was told using John's Gospel. And I was struck by all the embodied details of the story, and how humiliation, violence, and pain were used to inflict as much suffering as possible on Jesus and on those who loved him, but were powerless to stop what was happening. Jesus, the story says, was stripped. He was mocked. A soldier spat in his face. He was beaten and tortured. All of this before he is nailed to the cross and suffocated to death. As I listened, I was struck by how much Jesus suffered in his body. This Easter morning, I come to the story of the resurrection, still steeped in the story of the arrest, torture, and execution of Jesus. And I feel convicted to say that before we know resurrection, we must face into the reality of Good Friday. Pain, suffering, abuse, oppression. These are the all too present realities of our day. Crucifixion happened, and it happens still. But today, we name and claim the ways in which Jesus' crucifixion is a moment of God's radical solidarity with all who are oppressed, wounded, or experience violence. We name and claim God's willingness to experience in God's body what it is to be executed by the powerful of the world. Executed in the same way that countless people and the planet suffer at the hands of power and empire today. Good Friday does not valorize crucifixion. It does not celebrate violence. Good Friday condemns all that would break or injure God's precious creation. And today, on this Easter Sunday, we claim that God's radical solidarity on the cross is not the end of the story. Today, we claim that God's response to any crucifixion is always and everywhere resurrection. Always and everywhere resurrection. Mary was still in a fog. The trauma had happened so quickly. There really wasn't a lot of time between the shock of Jesus' arrest, the frantic attempts to get Pilate to release him, and the horror of watching him die. And she had been there for all of it. She had borne witness to all the degradation they had spewed, all the suffering that she felt in her own body. And she tried to offer at least something to him with her presence. She was still in shock and deep in grief on the morning in the garden. She was in so much grief that she mistook the Jesus to be the gardener. She can't be forgiven for her clouded thinking because, as we said, it was just 3 days since his execution. But when he called her name, her attention shifted. She was awakened from her stupor, and she recognized her beloved, her teacher, Mary. Rabboni. It is one of the most moving passages in all of Scripture for me. In the shortest of exchanges, the calling of her name immediately gathers her into relationship, into love, into the impossible reality that from such horror and pain and death has sprung new life. For years, the factory had polluted the soil and the waters of the surrounding community, and then it closed. It sat empty for over a decade until it was torn down and the land sat barren. A group of local community activists, sitting in the midst of a food desert, decided to try to remediate the soil. It was one of those amazing projects. You had the Black elders, some of whom had worked at the plant. You had the young Black and Brown activists. You have the Black, Brown, and White geeks who studied microorganisms, plants, and mushrooms, and the White Canadian woman who spent her life's energy writing about earth repair. They first met together in a place that looked deceptively simple. Grasses growing, but not much else. And then the Canadian began to describe what lay in the soil, the chemicals and toxins that had woven themselves together to poison the earth. But she said, "Death, this death, is not the final answer. We can ally ourselves with the organisms, with the plants and the fungi. For every contaminant, there is a microorganism for which it is food. The contamination took decades, and the repair will too. But we can heal this land if we align ourselves with the creatures who can bring life out of death." That was 12 years ago, and the work is far from done. But the earth is being repaired in that small plot of land. And the death of environmental degradation is slowly giving itself over to the life of human and mushroom, plant and microorganism working together, practicing interbeing, practicing resurrection. Almost 5 years ago, I made a trip to the Pacific Northwest to a place that resonates in my soul body the way few places do. It was right after one of my dearest mentors had died, and I was grieving deeply. As I drove around the top of the Olympic National Park, the bottom of the Macaw Reservation, and finally, approaching the coast, I felt my fascia start to loosen and my heart start to soften. I felt my breathing gradually slowing and my mind begin to settle. And all of it caused the tears of grief and loss to come closer to the surface. Finally, as I got out of my car at the trailhead that led through the forest to the beach, I inhaled like I was home and started onto the path, interbeing working on me. For the first section of the trail, I was looking up at the trees, the ones that always remind me of cathedral pillars standing over 100 feet tall. I had that same sense of sacredness and worship as I paused and listened and looked through the intricately woven canopy with the sunlight speckled through. And then, for some reason, my eyes were brought to the ground. Just ahead of me and to my left, lying about 75 feet long, was the greatly decayed trunk of one of the massive trees that had fallen several years ago. In the span between when it fell and now, millions of insects had feasted, slowly softening its hard wood into sawdust and soil. And there, along its massive span, whose outline was less visible because of its softness, rose dozens and dozens and dozens of saplings. What I was looking at, what had brought my attention from the heavens to the earth, what had called my name, was what is known as a nurse log. The tears which had been close to the surface came spilling out. That one grandmother, who had stood for centuries, probably, had been transformed from death into life for literally thousands of other creatures and close to 100 other trees. Amidst my grief, she had grabbed my attention and seemed to call out my name, Rebecca. And I recognized her as my teacher. And she said to me, remember, life springs from death. Life does indeed spring from death. But our biblical story aside, most resurrections take a long time. So much so that it might be better to say that we are called to practice resurrection for the long haul. And even then, resurrection is, more often than not, generational work. It's the work of interbeing that is started by grandparents and passed like an heirloom onto children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Practicing resurrection, practicing interbeing is long-haul work because the power of crucifixion, of colonization, of white supremacy, of extractive capitalism, the power of crucifixion is real. Trauma and pain, suffering and sorrow, degradation and toxicity can be pernicious, persistent, and long-lasting. And they, too, can be handed down from generation to generation like a poisoned inheritance. But the fact that practicing resurrection and practicing interbeing is generational work doesn't make it any less sacred or powerful. Indeed, being part of a long line of healing is a gift unlike any other. We were in a small room behind large metal gates in San Salvador. It was 1987, and the Civil War was raging. I was part of a delegation of Christians and Jews who were on a solidarity and accompaniment trip during Las Posadas in Advent. We were waiting for two comadres, mothers of the disappeared, to come and speak to our group, and they were late. And then, bang, 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 There was a pounding on the metal gates and shouts from our hosts as they quickly slid open the gates, just enough for the two women to slip through, and then they closed them again. They had been at the presidential palace protesting, an extremely dangerous thing to do, as protesters were often killed on the spot or disappeared. They had been tear gassed, and as soon as they came through the gates, they ran for milk to neutralize the gas in their eyes, and they coughed and threw up in a bucket. Our small American delegation just stood back and watched as they were ministered to by their friends, cleaned up from the impacts of the gas that was probably made in Homer City, Pennsylvania. When they were better, they turned to us and started to tell their story. Within a few minutes, the first woman who spoke shared that she had lost 5 children to the Civil War, and that she had witnessed one of her children being tortured to death. As I stood there and took in the whole experience, the pounding on the metal door, the tear gas, and the knowledge of all she had lost, I raised my hand, my 18-year-old white North American hand, and asked, "How? How did you survive losing your child? How are you brave enough to go to the presidential palace? How can you be talking to us right now?" And she said to me, "I know that in Jesus, God knows in God's body what it means to be tortured to death. And so I know that God was holding my son as he died. And furthermore, I know that in the resurrection, God has raised my son. And I know that if anything happens to me, God will be with me and will hold me and will raise me up. And that makes me fearless. And that makes me powerful." Yeah. Mary, Rabboni. I met Jesus in the garden with Mary the day I met that Salvadoran Comadre. And I came to my adult faith that day too. God's love, God's justice, God's healing, God's resurrection is always and everywhere more real and more powerful than any crucifixion that empire might seek to perpetrate against Jesus, against trans beloveds, against the body of Mother Earth, against Ukrainian kindred, against school children or elderly Black folks shopping for groceries or Latinx folks shopping at a Walmart, against young Black and brilliant legislators standing in solidarity against gun violence. On this Easter morning, Jesus stands resurrected before the death and violence of our world, and calls us by name. May we so hearken to the call that we might be fearless and powerful and just outrageous enough to join our hearts to fungi and our bodies to nursing logs and our lives to the sacred work of practicing resurrection for generations to come. Let the people of God say, amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time of prayer, we wanted to do something special. Special prayer, it's a special day. We have a special family here with us. So I'm going to start this prayer this way. Wakataka yota washaka nie ni chichi he chena I charge chi Jesus Christ e he chiataha we chote o ya heye cha we chuni o we hanke wani chia cha tiopaki un ya ki luga pi Jesus Christ I tancha Uya biki he ichiata he iye niye na wonia wonia wakan kio niu na we chose yuha wakantaka wajina maka o iwe hanke wa wani. We come together and we pray to you, Creator, for the beauty of this earth, for the beauty of the trees, for the fragrance of the flowers, for the summer breeze, for the rhythm of the lakes, the rhythm of the lives, the faintness of the stars, and the freshness of the air, the rain as it falls and renews all of this. We pray all of this in your name, and I would like to ask whoever can come and join us to come, and we're going to lay hands on people. If you can't come forward, just please put your hand forward as we pray. And I'd like to ask all of you here in the choir and in 29 to 11 to offer up your prayers for your families. Wakantaka, in your name, hear our prayers. We pray for those who have lost loved ones on this day. We pray for those who have family not present. We pray for those who are traveling. We pray for those who have changes in their lives. We give thanks for those, for the many blessings that have come upon us as we travel in our roads in this life. We pray, O Jesus Christ, O Lord, we pray to you, O Mother of God, for all these things. We pray for you to remember those in our family that we name. I name Anita, my sister. Thank you. chipi ki e iwi cho ta wa chi wa ushtesh de oyak de na ke chi he i che chi wo ya wo ki e ni ta wa o hinia ki u e na cha ta ha ta a ku wa shte i cha yu ya bi ta o shi chi chi ya ye i che u chi ya bi wa ka ki o ni una wo ki zoze yu ha wa ka ta ka wa ji na ma ka o wi ha ka ke wa ni. Amen. Please join me in the prayer in your bulletin. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother and Parent of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In the times of temptation and testing, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to share your gifts through offering or through prayer. As the offering plate goes by, you can just put your hand over it and say a prayer if you would like. And then I also, for the Lydians, I think you can look up on it.
Even though The government is going to keep lying to us. Even though life happens on a daily basis, we as a people still have to keep our love. We have to find our peace in spite of what's going on. Keep hoping, but most of all, don't let them steal your joy.
Amen.
And that's what the song is about. And the chords of word we use is Utando over the Hakamisa. Some of you need to keep loving. Still love, still love. It's fine.
No worry, no worry.
And then we do a great big thank you. And we say, Wolfina.
God who shakes heaven and earth, whom death could not contain, who lives to disturb and heal us. Bless us with the power to go forth and proclaim the good news of love and liberation and uprising and resurrection. Go forth in peace.
Amen.
So the song I'm supposed to teach you guys right now is one word. It's going to be quick, and everybody's going to sing and dance in solidarity. It's a celebration, right?
Amen.
Christ has risen. Amen. So what I'm looking for, just say the word, Hamdeya.
Hamdeya.
That's it. So the group will start off with the different voices, and when we point at you, you dance and sing. Is that okay with you guys?
All right.
Do we believe that Christ has risen?
Amen.
Yes. So that's why we're singing this song, Hamdeya. Let's stand, everybody. The group can go, come a little bit forward, you know.
The kingdom is over.
Hamdeya.
Hamdeya.
Lord.